Welcome back to another episode of B-Hall Radio. I'm your host, Brian Rowan. We're on episode 83. We've got Logan Everett on guest hosting tonight. Welcome, Logan.
Thank you. You can really see the excitement in Brian's voice. It's been a while, so we're happy to be back.
Oh yeah.
No one is more excited than I am. It's been too long since we've done one of these, and I thought it was just going to be me and B-Row, so obviously I wasn't very excited. And then I hopped on here, and I saw Logan Everett's. So
let's go.
I guess now it's the start of the season. It's team up against B-Row time, you know, where everybody makes fun of me every episode. So I'm glad,
we only glad do that on these shows. Like in real life, we're always really nice to Brian and we just don't compliment everything about him. But when the show is live, when we do it live, things get heated.
Yeah. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, so it's been about 2 months since we've had an episode. We've had a lot of stuff going on. The Army football team is not doing nearly as well this year.
Why you got to go there, man? They're playing hard.
Thinking of the fall. I'm thinking of blessed by how much fun it is. I'm like, man, I wish the football team was playing better.
We don't talk about other people's jobs on this show.
Yeah, man, look. You know what? I love those guys. I love that staff. I know they wish they had a different record right now, but whatever. We love them. I got their back.
Let's go. All right, so before we get into this weekend action, let's bring us up to speed. Last update we had was, I want to say, in late August. You know, we'd been in the room for a couple of weeks, but no official practices. And I guess, how are the guys adapting? You know, how's the season come along? This is your ninth year now as the head coach. And when I saw that tweet the other day, I was like, wow, I'm getting old.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't aged one day since your first year, so.
You look like you haven't aged just one day since then. Dude, my ninth opening day was yesterday. It's crazy. So you asked about, how the team, I mean, training, you know, it's been a really good preseason. It was a good preseason. We're not in preseason anymore. I just think this team has a couple things that are really valuable. Like we have really strong leadership. We have a small number of seniors, but man, they're valuable and their influence is pretty strong and they're like leaders and influencers that you would want to have. So that's a positive thing. Last year, maybe a little bit too much negativity for whatever reason. I mean, great guys, you know, it's not like they were negative guys, but just, you know, I don't think us coaches had a finger on the pulse as closely as we do now. Just a different energy on the team this year and a great positivity, a great courage, more ownership, probably as much as of any team I've ever had, you know, with guys that just like, I'll give you an example. We show up to practice a couple weeks ago and, there's like team goals listed and printed and they're in every locker. And I was like, oh, I'd love to read these, you know, like I have no idea. So I'm reading through the team's goals that they kind of crafted this statement on their own. And it was awesome. And I was like, it's an example of people taking ownership of their team and not asking for permission or waiting to be told. That ownership, that energy, it's been very positive. The guys have trained really hard. It was a good preseason. And now it's like we go 0 to 100 pretty fast. So, you know, we compete this weekend and now let's just keep going.
Yeah, I'll jump in. I wanted to say myself, congrats on 9 seasons. I was going to give you like a nice tweet, but like my 200 followers, it wouldn't have gotten anywhere. So it was probably better that the 12 followers that we have on this
We're
show
up to like two to and a half dozen on this show now that get to hear it. But thanks, my man.
14.
For those that are listening or watching that don't know, Logan Everett was a sophomore. Were you a yuck when I first got here?
Yeah, sophomore.
So you were in your second
and
year.
And I had to march into your office and tell you that I need to move up weight class. That was like the first conversation that we had.
And I said, no, back down. You're not going up. You're going down to 25.
Yeah.
And here we are.
But well, yeah, no, thank God we did that because it all seemed to work out. But talk to us a little bit about how you've seen some of the classes mature. And we named 4 team captains. I don't think we've met since those captains have been named. Talk to us a little bit about went into that and why those guys were selected, or yeah. I don't know how the process was this year.
Okay.
But.
So Vero and I have discussed this in the past. We had an episode before, like what were we were riding with Ward or whatever we discussed. We were coming back from Glazed Over.
Yeah, I think the way their out front was under construction. And so we were like, oh, we gotta come up with another plan. So
I've never liked the two captain model. I've never thought it's the best thing. I mean, it might be a really good thing for, here's what we have. West Point has a system where each team has two captains, but some teams have 150 people on them and some teams have 15. And the two, just saying, oh, two captains, I don't like it. I've never believed in it. I don't think that, I've got a lot of respect for the role of the team captain at West Point, but I think it's a little bit overblown. I do. Yep. I think too much is put on it because you don't have to be a team captain or wear an extra bar on your chest to be just as strong of a leader as anybody else. And limiting that to just two people, I've never felt comfortable with that. And I finally felt comfortable enough trying to do my own thing, which is, I think four is good. Christian Hunt's a firstie and he's phenomenal. Like his influence on the team is evident. He really, really cares. And he's a guy that really cares about the team. And he cares about himself and his own career, but he really cares about the team, and that shows. And it's important to him. And we have three underclassmen, they're juniors. They're with him, Nate Lucas, Matt Williams, and Ben Pazook, who, when you look at all three of those guys, they're leading the way academically and on the wrestling. Like, they're the total package. They're doing everything with, Nate 4.0 or very close to it, and Ben Pazook, high threes, and Matt Williams, as well, like, really strong GPA, and they all work hard, set good examples. They're exactly what you want. If you could have a whole team do what they do, then you'd have a really good team. So, I mean, it was an obvious choice, to be honest with you. We have others that would make fantastic captains. But those four, I think are just kind of exemplary for what we want. So name them team captains. And it's not the first time we've had people that aren't seniors be team captains. It's definitely not the first time we've had more than two, but for this year, and man, I'm telling you, like, they're doing a phenomenal job, but it's not only them, it's everybody else. We have sophomores and freshmen stepping up and leading the way too. So just a really good group all the way around.
Are those guys going to get the rollover from the junior to senior captain?
I mean,
they got to earn it.
It's earned, not given. They're doing a great job. We'll worry about that later. let's worry about making progress and winning some matches this weekend.
Do you think that like waiting to announce the captains till like right before the season like helps some of the other guys like step up or like help them as captains step up into that role to kind of like it wasn't earned early on like in the spring maybe if you announced it.
I don't know. I don't know that I've given that a whole lot of thought, to be honest with you. That wasn't a motivation for me. I just didn't care. I mean, I really had no desire or urgency to name captains. It wasn't important to me. I thought whoever is going to be leaders are going to show up. And then when I finally name them officially, everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, that was obvious. It wasn't in a hurry to do it because it is too much. Sometimes it's too much is made out of it, like. You don't have to lead it. Just learn how to lead yourself. Like, learn how to train and learn how to stay focused and learn how to make progress every day before you start worrying about your influence on other people, And I just thought that we were there kind of as a team where like people needed to learn how to just lead themselves and stop worrying about, what they're inundated with every single day, but leadership, leadership, leadership. It's like, man, just show up to practice and work really hard. Like take care of that first. Then we'll start talking about like influence on other people. But we were like, let's just show up and set an example. But it was never a calculated move on my part to wait. Like that wasn't part of it. It was just I wasn't in a hurry to do it. I really didn't care.
I was gonna say, not that you're not capable of that, but it's maybe not that calculated.
You're giving me way too much credit.
I was waiting till that specific day. So I guess I don't talk. They got, was there any sort of like wrestle off process or are those ongoing through the first few competitions?
Yeah.
I know we'll talk a little bit about lineups as we get later on in the show, because I'm sure that'll factor into all that. But prior to this competition, what type of stuff went on from a wrestle-offer standpoint in the room?
We've wrestled quite a few matches in the room. They've never been labeled as wrestle-offs. They haven't been wrestle-offs. They've been, you know, you'd call them challenge matches. I mean, we've even had at least one day where we just said, you three people, you're wrestling somebody in your weight class, you pick your opponent. So we've done this a lot this year where it's like, it's the first thing we do that practice after warm-up is we'll wrestle three or four matches. Just three or four matches going on, and then nobody else on the mat. After those matches are done, practice starts. Because we want to see guys compete and see the progress that we're making. And it's for everybody. It's for the coaches. It's for them. We all want to learn from it. We did, you know, this past weekend, the scramble format, we were limited. We couldn't put all of our guys into the bracket because there weren't enough competitors from the other teams. It would have just been Army versus Army too often. So we ended up with 32. And the last three or four spots in were wrestle-offs. We had wrestle-offs in the room where the winner gets into this event. They may have been like the third or fourth on the depth chart. If there was a battle for third or fourth, we just wrestled off and said, whoever wins this match is going to be able to wrestle this weekend. We did have a few of those. But we're going to use this journeyman round robin that's coming up. It's a great kind of measuring stick. We can use that as wrestle-offs and help us gauge our lineup. So we have plenty. Competition's going to sort it out, and we're going to let everybody compete as much as we can, and how they perform in competition will be the biggest factor in who gets put in the starting lineup.
Brian and I were talking before you came on a little bit about the potential of that stuff to kind of be an external wrestle-off type thing, where you actually are getting competition outside of the guys that you practice with every day, and you're wrestling, you know, 4-to-4 match every other day because you wrestle each other every day. It's just hard. It's hard to separate sometimes when we get into that. But I had a question specifically about the kind of the scramble. We can start kind of getting into this weekend a little bit, but the scramble format, like what is that? Oh, I'm familiar with the script. Did you guys play like a golf scramble as well? I don't understand what a scramble is. And is it like a round robin?
So that's basically what it is. And if you want to talk golf, we can talk golf too, but we should.
Well, I'm really getting heavy into the golf that you got to call round robin a scramble.
No mulligans. We don't get any mulligans. Yeah. Here's what it's basically.
Yeah, these matches
it's a round robin pool type event. So here's what happened. During COVID, there were these things called extra accountable matches. They were created. And what they were extra matches that were countable on your record. Last year, a couple teams they cheated and abused the rule. So last year, what a couple teams did were like, man, my guy needs one more match to get to 16 to have an RPI or whatever. So after a dual meet, they were like, let's have an extra accountable match, but my guy's going to take an injury. He's going to walk out there, shake hands, and injury default. So these teams, a couple teams did it, actually. One of them's in our conference. There's no negative team score repercussions. The guy takes an L on his record, but he also gets to the match count needed to get an RPI. Well, it was blatant cheating. And so the NCAA, instead of being like, you can't do that, they just said, this is why you can't have nice things. So they took extra countable matches away. So our original plan was just to have an event of just extra countable matches. Well, when the NCAA took our stuff away, they took their toys and ran. So we had to create this like scramble round robin ish format. And that's why we couldn't post live updates, because it was like, it doesn't fit into track wrestling's live scoring system. We had to do pen and paper and then go back and enter all the results in last night or early this morning. So, but it was just, I mean, it's a round robin. We knew each, like we had a list. Here's all the matches on mat one, all the matches on mat two, all the matches on mat three. Here's what they are, and here's the order they're in. It doesn't matter who won the matches before. There's no advancement. Like, here's your matches. That's what it was. And I mean, to be honest with you, it worked out great. Every coach was like, yeah, we got the matches we wanted, and not every one of them got the result they wanted, but you know, we all got the matches that we thought we'd get, the number of matches we felt was good for the first day of the season. Yeah, cool format. I think we're going to do it again next year.
Yeah, it probably went a lot quicker than like a normal tournament format with.
Oh, dude, these guys, I mean, we had guys get three matches, but then the whole event lasted 4 hours. And you get three Division I matches. You go to an open tournament the first weekend of the year, you may be in the gym for 12, 13, 14 hours and get three or four Division I matches. So, I mean, it's much more efficient. It's a much better use of your time. And yeah, so for those reasons, we like it.
You're kind of poking holes in my conspiracy theory. I was thinking that like you guys didn't post results or record it or anything like that, so that this could be like kind of off the record wrestle offs, and also, you know, other teams wouldn't be able to scout, you know, our guys as well. This you know, so you got the reigning EIWA wrestler of the week, and nobody's got any footage on him. You know,
listen, that's two times already in the first, what is it, 10 minutes. You give me way too much credit. No, like we wanted to be able to stream and stuff. It just, I mean, it did work out, but there was no ulterior motives there. No hidden agenda. It just flat out, we had to do it pen and paper. That's all there was to it.
Oh man. So let's
get into it.
Get into it.
No, let's
enough small talk.
I don't know if we got to get into rough. Do you want to hit recap from the top? I noticed what I was driving, so I was getting the tweet updates, and it seemed like from the tweets, I didn't think we lost a match.
Yeah,
I said we
was like, yeah, we're on a win streak here.
Shout out Dom Falcone on the Twitter. He was crushing it. Yeah. So
he didn't post any L's though. He just only wins.
No. So
he was crushing
from
it.
From our perspective, I didn't see anyone lose. So it would probably be good if we did a from the top all the way down through, so we could kind of get an idea of what actually happened.
Well, you're going to have to ask me questions then, because I don't remember all the matches, and I was on one mat the entire day. I mean, I got up just for a minute, but so I saw some of the match. I didn't see them all. You'll have to ask me some questions and I can go through. I might remember a lot of it.
I think going weight class by weight class, Coach Green put out a pretty good email today to the insiders.
Okay.
It was super in depth, but kind of gave a breakdown. I don't know if it was included everybody, but you know, at 25, you know, he listed out
insiders.
What?
I said it's just for the. It's only for the insiders.
I mean, if you want the insiders,
if you
want to
know,
go to westpointwrestlingclub.org and sign up for the insiders.
And the insiders.
It's $75 a year. Do the math. How much is that a month? I don't know. It's like it's less than your blue check mark on Twitter is these days. So. It's worth it. You're going to get inside info. And anyways, insiders is important. Yeah, 125. We had two guys wrestle at 25. Charlie Farmer had a really strong performance. I think he kind of dominated both the opponents he wrestled. And then Ethan Bergen. You do not pronounce the C at the end of his name. It's not Bergen.
Okay.
It's Bergen.
Okay, it's Bergen.
And Coach Green has taken to calling him the silent C. It's terrible, but it's so good.
I need to give Flow Wrestling guys a little heads up, because they're gonna be probably talking about that a bunch tomorrow, you know, on FRL.
That's fine.
They get the silent C out there. That could be some good marketing for.
Yeah, they call it the silent C. Yeah, no, he had a good day. He looked good. He had, I think, three wins on the day, and one of them against the returning All-American, where, like, I mean, Ethan looked good. He looked very tough. I think we have a lot of respect for that kid that he wrestled. He's very good and very competitive. So I thought it was a really nice win for Ethan.
I would say good day seems like a little bit undersell, especially.
I mean, come on, man. It's one day.
I mean, it's a big win.
It's a big win. It happened yesterday, and we have Nebraska in a few days. So, you know, it was a good win. It was a really strong start and move forward.
So at 33, was it only Richie Trainer that was wrestling?
No, Ryan Franco wrestled. Joe Couch got a match. Daniel Urachuk got a match, maybe two. But Richie and Franco are the top two in that weight class right now. So we had a depth chart. Richie and Ryan are at the top two. And they both had pretty good days. I mean, Richie had two pins on the day. And then one match that was a little bit of a head scratcher, just, you know, like he just looked a little rusty. Just needs maybe a few more bouts. And Franco, you know, thinking through his, I mean, he is so talented. He can wrestle every position really, really good. He just, you know, he's a freshman and, you know, he just can't afford to think and act like a freshman anymore. You know, it's when it clicks for him mentally and emotionally in matches, potential is through the roof. They both showed a lot of promise.
We didn't mention at 25, but is Bergen and Farmer like the two guys there? Like,
yeah, so we have another kid on our team named Nine Vasquez. He's kind of banged up. He's out with an injury right now. He's super competitive too. So he won't be competing at Journeyman either, but he'll be back before the winter break and might get a chance to compete. So, I mean, we're in a good spot there. And all three of those guys are tough guys. You know, they're not just decent wrestlers and they don't kind of work hard. They all work really hard and they're tough. You know, like you can talk to them, you can be honest with them, you can talk straight to them. They don't whine. You know, they don't take things personally. They're tough guys and they want the truth and then they want to go train and they love wrestling. So what more do you want as a coach? You can tell them the truth and they love wrestling. So that means they're all going to be very good.
Moving up to 41, you know, we had, you know, a few guys shifting up in weight classes last year. It was very deep. A few of those guys are up, you know, up at 49, but Mark Montgomery is up at 41. You know, how's 41 looking?
41's deep. There's not a lot of separation there yet. You know, I would say Sanchez is at the top right now. Montgomery and Hummel are very competitive. We have a few others there, right? Shane Persley is a freshman. Tyler Morris has been around a little bit. But I would say those top three are pretty close right now with Sanchez kind of getting the nod. I mean, Sanchez wrestled really well on the day. He really did. And the match that he lost was, it wasn't a controversial call. It was a bad call, just flat out the wrong call to make. And it sent the match to overtime and then we lost in overtime. But well, we got called for stalling on top. Like we took the guy down to go up by a point. I think it was riding him on the edge of the mat. The guy stands up and the guy's walking out of bounds and we're just kind of following him out of bounds on top and they call us for stalling. It's not like we didn't drop down to the legs and drive him out. The guy wasn't trying to get into bounds and we drove him out. The guy walked out of bounds and we followed him. Stalling top man. You're like, whatever. But after that match, Sanchez was like, first he was, you know, like he was like, that was a stupid call, but I had chances to win it. Like I could have won it overtime. And if I rode him for three more seconds, I would have won the match. And that's what you want. Like we told the guys before the day, like we know these refs are inexperienced and there's going to be some calls you don't like. So there's no excuse. He wrestled really well though. That's the point I'm getting at he lost one match against a really good kid. But it wasn't a lack of effort, you know, he was right there in the match. So I like what I've seen out of all those guys. It's just somebody's got to step up and stake their claim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Moving up at 49. It's very deep weight class as well. You got, you know, Logan Brown, Matt Williams up there, as well as Zach Keel. Has anybody separated themselves yet? How's the weight
class? No, I would say that's a weight where we wanted some more clarity and we got a little bit more confusion. The three guys that wrestled there were Logan Brown, Thomas Deck, and Matt Williams. Thomas got a little banged up on the day, had the injury default. I doubt he's wrestling this weekend at Journeyman, but all those three guys are very close. And if you look at the results, they kind of each beat somebody that the other one lost to, but then lost to somebody else that the other one beat. You know, there's not a lot of separation. But they're all really good too, you know, and whoever ends up being the guy, we're going to have a really solid guy there at 149. I feel really good about it. I like all of their attitudes, you know, it's a good thing to have is you have really competitive depth. You know, we'll see who steps up and takes it.
Awesome. Moving forward at 57, doesn't seem like maybe as deep with, you know, is Nate the guy right now?
Nate's the guy right now. Yeah. I mean, I think the results from yesterday show it. Nate went 3-0, and the others didn't. They were close. Like the others were in every single match too, but you know, like there's something to be said for somebody that can find a way to close a match out and win it. So listen, we're really fortunate right there too, where you got Nate Lucas and Tanner Craig, two juniors that, you know, it's like they dip their hands in concrete before every match and go out there and like, they're super physical. And their lungs are enormous. Like, these guys do not get tired. And you have a freshman like Trey McDaniel that's just really dangerous, a lot of tools, and probably the most dangerous at the weight class and what he can do. But maybe, you know, a lack of experience showed yesterday a little bit. But listen, the door is not closed. You know, that chapter is not finished yet. Nate Lucas is a guy right now, that's for sure. But we're going to let other people compete and show they deserve a chance.
Moving into 165, Dalton Harkins, solid performance yesterday. You highlighted him in your post-match interview you did with Coach Green. If you want to expand on that a little bit, how he's looked so far.
Well, I mean, it's the kid that he beats really good. And he beat some other guys too, but I think the Oregon State kid, just, he kind of beat the brakes off the Lehigh kid the day before that we had lost to last year. And a really competitive bout. I mean, both of these guys had chances to win it. Dalton came out on top because he really competed hard. He wrestled smart too. Stayed in good positions and wrestled the positions he needed to be in to win. Got an escape in like a second and a half against a guy that's good on top. You know, he flew out of there. Awesome to see. Really strong performance. Excited to watch him continue to build. I mean, I think he showed that he's our guy right now, but Christian Hunt, the senior, you know, team captain, is super capable. And when Christian, you know, allows himself to compete in competition the way he does in the practice room, it's going to happen. You know, it will click for him. And when it does, he's really capable. We haven't seen it in competition as much as anybody would like, especially him. But it's not because he doesn't work hard and he doesn't want it. It's just sports are tough, man. Like, pretty easy to say, open up. But unless you've been out there, you don't know what it feels like sometimes to, you know, it's sometimes you got to keep fighting until you have a breakthrough. And I think Christian's kind of in that spot right now where he's fighting until he has his breakthrough. You know, Dalton will wrestle this weekend in our duels, and they'll probably both wrestle in the round robin the next day.
Yeah, we'll dive into that more too, because I'm a little confused, and not confused, but the procedures for the journeyman on Sunday. It sounds like the whole weekend you guys are going to get a lot of matches, but we'll dive into that a little bit later. Okay. Moving through the lineup now at 74, you know, the Bazooka himself, you know, how's he looking? You know, we've got high hopes, a strong guy.
He looks good. He looks a little bit better than he did last year. And he's developing some new attacks and some new dimensions in his wrestling, which is going to really pay off for him. He had a strong day yesterday. He wasn't really tested all that much. Now this weekend coming up will be much different. So, you know, Dylan Sheehy is a guy that's moved up to 174 and is kind of, you know, the backup man there right now. And he's done a heck of a job too. Like, he's a guy that deserves some credit because he works hard. He's a good team guy. And if we need him to step in there and compete, I feel confident he can do it. But I mean, Ben's our guy. And, so this weekend, we'll get into it, I guess, in a minute, but, it'll be a big test for him coming up. Excited for him. 184. I'll just run through here so you don't have to ask. I think I know what direction you're going from here.
I felt a little awkward there for a second. I'm like trying to build the commentary in between. Like,
no, we'll just do this. I think, listen, if I start stuttering and I can't find the weight class, then just say it. But I think I can handle the next three. 184, Sam's our guy right now. I think that's kind of locked in. Sam's, he's a senior and he's been waiting to be the full-time guy and he's earned it and he's competing really well. He lost a match to a really good Oregon State kid, Munoz. But he had a couple good wins on the day too. Sam at 184 and 97 and heavyweight or two that aren't really figured out just yet. At 97, we have a couple good options with Kyle Swartz and Danny Lawrence that have experience. And then you have two young guys, Wolfgang Frabel, the real name,
good name right there,
yeah, and Eli Pack. They're both freshmen that they're not there yet, they're not there today, but they looked good yesterday, and if they keep progressing, Eli Pack might be the most athletic guy on the team. His mind and his emotions need to catch up to how physically gifted he is. Wolfgang is kind of like young in the sport of wrestling and needs to learn more and mature. And like I said, Swartz and Lawrence have been around a little bit longer. You know, they're pretty close there for the spot. We'll see who wrestles in the duels. They'll probably both wrestle in the round robin. Same at heavyweight, pretty close. Cole Hoffer, a freshman, did not wrestle yesterday. A little bit banged up. Might be back this weekend. We hope so. I think he will. And then you have Paul Robinson, who's a senior, and you have Kate Carlson, a sophomore, and they're very close, and they both had comparable results yesterday. I don't know who's going to step out and wrestle the dual meets and this weekend at heavyweight yet either. So that's another one somebody's got to step up and separate themselves. And if I'm not mistaken, B-Row, that's all 10 weight classes. So yes. Hopefully that, you know, it gives an idea. Here's what we learned from wrestling yesterday. As expected, our guys are in good shape. We were 6-1 in overtime matches. That's good to see because our guys want to be able to win. Not that we want 7 overtime matches. We'd rather win them all in regulation. But when you're in here's what overtime means. It means that you're good enough to win the match no matter what. If you're in an overtime match, you're good enough to win it. You know, you just have to be better at winning. In wrestling, you're a good enough wrestler. If you're in overtime, you're a good enough wrestler. Now you just can you win? We won 6 out of 7. So they've made some progress there mentally. We did a good job on bottom. We got to continue to improve on top. There wasn't nearly enough back points and transition back points. And like we left a lot of opportunities out there. Solid start. And then we just got to continue to improve.
Love to hear it. The as we're looking forward, this weekend, you know, big dual meets on Saturday. Where are they at in Bethlehem? Are they at one of the high schools or?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you which ones on which day, but Liberty High School and Freedom High School are the two. So we're wrestling dual meets at one of those schools on Saturday, and then the round robin at the other school on Sunday. If there's, I don't know, a Justice High School, I was waiting on that joke, B-Row. If we're wrestling a Justice on Monday, I don't know. I'm spoiled rotten. I've got an incredible staff. And the better my staff gets, I'm like, the dumber I get. Because I'm like, I forget. So
you don't
much.
Have to figure it all out.
Yeah. I forget how to do things. And I'm like, I don't even know where we're wrestling. You know, we're going to get on the bus and
you just get on the bus and it'll take you there. And then
I just get on the bus. Hey, I think about this story every year. There was two bus rides that always cracked me up. One was my first bus ride as coach at West Point. Ty Reedy was the OR and he was traveling with us. And I'll never forget. Everybody gets on the bus. I was used to being the only coach ever, you know, the program I coached before. So I'm used to like loading everything on the bus, making sure everybody's on there. Everybody's on the bus and I stand up and I've got the roster and I'm going to walk through and call. And Ty's like, what are you doing? And I was like, make sure he's like, you don't do that. I was like, what do you mean? I don't know. You got like a team captain to do it or something. I was like, oh, I don't have to do this. And the second bus story, the next year I hired Chewy and cause Chewy was with me at Wichita, Chris Chianuma. And we got on a bus to go on our first trip together. And Chewy's sitting across the aisle on the other seat. And he looks over and he was like, K-Dub, we made it. And I was like, he was like, we ain't driving vans. I was like, that's right, Chew. We made it, dude. Like, we were so pumped that we're not driving vans. He was like, duh, we made it, dude. So so anyways, all that to say that I've gotten a lot dumber when my staff gets a lot smarter and I just get, you know, I just forget things. and no less. Yeah.
How did Coach Parker do in his first, you know, competition as a coach yesterday?
He stayed seated almost the entire time. I was impressed by that. I thought we might find him out there on the mat. So here's a like a legit update for our listeners. We have 3 coaches on staff right now. We started the year with 4. We have 3 coaches on staff. Next time we talk, we're going to have 4 coaches on staff. But right now it's me, Green, and Parker. Breece isn't considered a coach. He's director of ops and development, but can't sit in our guys' corners in competition. So we had three mats going yesterday. Green was on mat one. I was on mat two. Parker's on mat three. And we didn't move all day long, you know, like these, because we were almost every single match was one of our guys was in it. And did great. And like he's doing with everything, he's crushing it. And so, I've bragged on him a lot publicly, and he deserves it. You know, he's mature well beyond his years of experience coaching. He's a kind of a rock star coach in the making right now.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
Are you able to disclose who the soon to be coach is next coming?
No, we have been working on it, and it's going to be like a really strong fit for us and add something that we don't currently have. And it'll be another kind of like, it'll maybe surprise some people, another, what do you want to call it, outside of the box hire or whatever, you know, it's like, it's a non-traditional, I don't know, does it surprise people? I've never hired the conventional way. So I don't know why it should surprise people, but it's not like, this isn't somebody that just won a national title last year, you know, or something like that. It's, but super strong, going to make us better, very skilled in a lot of ways. So we'll announce it when the time is right, but that time is not tonight.
Gotcha. So looking ahead this weekend, the format for Sunday, is it all day, or like, is it similar, and like you get pooled into groups and then you move on, and how does it go?
So it's two duels on Saturday. We wrestle Sacred Heart at 11 a.m., Nebraska at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Sunday, we just call it a round robin. We call it the journeyman.
Called a scramble for this episode.
If you want to use the industry, you know, lingo, it's the journeyman event. So, you can enter as many people, like, it's part of our deal with going. We can enter our whole roster, almost our whole roster. And they put them into pools. So you'll compete in a pool of maybe like four people. So you'll get three matches within your pool, and then you'll cross over and wrestle another pool. So you have like, you know, 141A and 141B. And the person that goes 3-0 over here wrestles the person that went 3-0. If you went 2-1, you wrestle the guy that went 2-1. If you went, you know, they cross over at the end. So like you're going to wrestle your pool and the crossover match no matter what. It's great because you get matches in. If you're not on that day, it sucks because you could go like 0-4. You know, if you suck in an open tournament, you're 0-2. You suck at a round robin tournament, then you're 0-4. So you better show up. And they do kind of tier the pools from A, B, and C, where A being the most competitive or most credentialed. So A will be the national qualifiers and ranked. B will be, we think these guys are good. And C will be, you know, they haven't proven themselves yet. There will be carryover or crossover between A and B and between B and C, but not between A and C. Are you following this? Because I'm confused.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I got it.
Yeah. So that's what it is. I mean, it's a really cool concept because you get, you know, kind of like competition, near peer competition, to use the Army phrase. And, you know, it's like an efficient event. You're in and out. You're not there for 14 hours. So cool event. Frank Papalizio does a really good job with it. We've been going for a few years, so we like it.
So if you're in the A group, you're like not getting a guy probably with a USA wrestling tattoo.
Unless that guy is really overachieved. Like if you're wrestling out the USA wrestling tattoo in the A bracket, you better watch out because he's overcome a lot in his life.
That's very true.
Yeah, it'll be cool. We're going to enter, I don't know, like we have 46, I think, on the roster. Probably 40 people will be entered in the round robin.
Cool.
Yeah. So I don't know. Kind of evaluate, you know, like it's not a wrestle off, but it gives us a chance to watch people in competition.
I'm assuming Sundays will be televised, will be Flow Wrestling. Do you know a Saturday? It'll probably come out. You guys will put it all out on Twitter, I'm sure.
I don't know. Is it on Flow? Here's where I'm going to go.
I think it is.
Journeyman is pretty much always on Flow. From what I remember in the past years. Tool Meets. Yeah. I'm not sure, but I'm sure that'll come out on Twitter on Thursday or Friday this week. So.
All right. Yeah, we'll get that out there.
kind of dual preview, I guess, Nebraska. I'm not super familiar, I guess, with everyone that they have right now. And it's early in the year, so sometimes people don't wrestle. And, I mean, you know how that goes. But any key matchups we're looking for? I know they got quite a few guys that are pretty good if they choose to wrestle those guys. So
I can only tell you this, that if we want a chance to win that dual meet, all 10 matchups are freaking important. That's all there is to that. I guess the headline match would be, I mean, look, our guys, we don't have nationally ranked guys, you know? So like, what are the marquee matchups? You know, we're supposed to get crushed. So, but Ben Pazuk and Labriola, you know, their 174 pounder is damn good and has been his entire career. Powerful.
I feel like he's been there forever.
Yeah. He's still around.
Dude, hey, I was looking at some results the other day or today, and I'm looking at the results over the weekend, and I think it was Wisconsin I was looking at. And one of their guys that wrestled, I was like, Luke Weiland wrestled him in 2019. You know, this guy's still going. I mean, these guys have been around forever. And that's just one example of it, you know. This kid from Oregon State, their 197 pounder, Noah Stewart wrestled him for third place in the EIWA tournament in 2020. And they were the same age. Listen, it's not a knock on them. They have the opportunity to do it. I mean, who wouldn't want to keep competing if you had the opportunity? So it's not their fault, but it's just, yeah, it's kind of – Labriola, here's what that means. He's experienced. You're not going to surprise him. You know, he's been in a lot of situations. So if you're going to beat him, you gotta freaking bring it. You know, guys like that, they're not going to lay down for you. So, you know, that's what that means. But all the matchups are going to be really important. They have a really good team. And they're going to be good at every weight class. So, yeah, every match is going to be important.
Yeah, they're coming off a down performance. They just lost to North Dakota State this past weekend. So,
I saw that. I didn't see the match itself, actually. I saw the result. Haven't really dug into it. I haven't done any scouting yet. You know, we'll do that this week and kind of get prepared.
Yeah. We should plug the event here, you know, at the Iowa Duel here in a couple of weeks. I know there's
a lot
of marketing out there, but we want to, you know, get, you know, all the fans out there, the information again, so that's fresh in their minds. On this show for about 2 months. So let's dive into that. You know,
here's November 17th, 7 PM, University of Iowa at West Point. It's a big deal. And I'll be honest with you, ticket sales are lagging a little bit behind what we want or expect. The Academy's done a good job. Like, they're supporting us. There's going to be kind of like a, what would you call it? A sign up for up to 300 cadets to be able to come to that match instead of being somewhere else that night that almost everybody's required to be at. So the Academy's doing their part, and they're saying, look, if you're in good standing and you want to go watch this wrestling match, you sign up and we're going to feed you Chick-fil-A when you're there. So that's really cool that they've stepped up to do that. We have been talking and emailing and calling as many high school and club coaches as we can to get them out here. And it's just important that we get the word out and that the community comes out and supports this event, because if we got a chance to set, you know, the largest indoor attendance for, you know, an indoor sporting event at West Point, I mean, this is a chance for us to do it. So November 17th, Iowa's here. And we're not going to talk individual matchups yet, but that's a big time matchup. It's a big dual meet. We need people to come out and support. A few days later, on the 20th, we have our tournament. We have almost as many tickets sold for the tournament as we do for the dual meet. And that will continue to grow too. So two revenue positive events in the same week for the sport of wrestling. That's big. And let's continue to grow those things. So that's Sunday, November 20th. That's an all-day event. It starts at 10 a.m. 10 teams involved: Penn State, Indiana, Bloomsburg, Central Michigan, Buffalo, Columbia, Brown, Campbell. Who did I miss? Hofstra. So some local flavor there, too. It'd be a really fun weekend of wrestling at West Point.
Awesome. I was going to go the reverse tactic and say that the tickets are almost sold out, so you need to buy them right now.
I would love to
if
say
you
that.
Want, if you want to go, you need to buy the tickets right now, because from what I'm hearing is there's they might run out, so you need to get them now if you want to
you
go.
You heard the man. Get on. You can find them on our website. Look at our schedule. Click on the ticket link. Purchase your tickets now. Look, if you can't make it to the event, you can purchase tickets, and B-Row or somebody can help facilitate you getting those tickets to somebody that can attend. So if you're listening and you want to support, buy some tickets, and somebody will help you get them in the hands of people that actually can attend.
Yeah, when by the time you listen to this, if you don't get on there right away, you might not be able to get some.
Yeah,
might be gone.
And if you don't, if you know you can't make it, buy them. I heard resale value is going to be crazy, so you might make some money off of that. If you, that's what you're into.
Did you see how much they're going for, like on Facebook Marketplace?
I think I didn't. Stubhub, they're twice the value right now.
And they're only going up from here.
Yeah, I know. Chick
yeah,
was looking
if you
want to
make some money.
A bunch more tickets because they were sold out in the area that he was looking for.
Yeah, so we're excited about it. But we got – I mean, that's – think about this. We have Nebraska, then this journeyman, and then Iowa, and then a tournament all within 8-9 days for our guys. So big-time wrestling crammed into, you know, a small window. So it's time for our guys to get tough.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of matches. I mean, that's – some of these guys could have 20 matches by the end of November. That's a lot when you're looking across the country and what a lot of guys, you know, in college wrestling now, some people get 20 matches total in the year.
Well, think about this. After our tournament, we have 2 matches before Christmas. So after our tournament, we only have 2 more dual meets, 2 matches. So it's kind of front heavy. And that's the way our schedule worked out. We really like it. And that's what we got. So
I think that can be better though sometimes when you get close to T weeks and all that kind of stuff. It's like nicer to have a little less on the plate, not
right
from an overwhelming standpoint, but no less from a focus standpoint, I'm sure.
Yeah. And if anybody, you know, speaking of that, we're gonna be in DC to wrestle American on December 3rd. We're trying to put together a little event there too. So if you're in the area and you're interested in coming out and watching the team and supporting and getting together either the night before or the afternoon of the dual meet, stay tuned. We're trying to put something together. We'll get some info out about that. But yeah, man, that's kind of a recap of what we've done, preview of what's coming up ahead. We'll set our dual meet lineup this week. It's not out yet, but we'll set that in the next couple of days for Nebraska. And stay tuned. Yeah, we appreciate the support. Do we have any questions tonight? Any fan questions?
Well, because of my you guys trying to keep all the video on under wraps, you know, this past weekend, not letting the competitors see it. All the listener questions were like, you know, who stood out this week, and everything that you've already covered.
Okay.
Nothing was very specific, you know, and you've pretty much addressed everything. So.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. Well, we'll keep them coming. It's good to be with you guys again. I've missed you. It's good to see you, Logan. And I can't wait to do another one of these episodes with you, Logan, because you're a great host. You ask insightful questions. You get good conversation going. B-Row's good at chiming in every now and then, too. So
I didn't bring up a CrossFit at all tonight. So far,
what? No, how do we make it all? You had to, right here.
I couldn't help myself. I've been thinking about it the past hour.
Can we talk about Chandler Smith at the Rogue Invitational? Please?
Oh my goodness, Eric, buckle up, listen. On for another 30 minutes.
Have you seen this guy, Chandler Smith?
That was games level performance right there. Just
unbelievable.
The guys he's and that was wild. Did you watch any of it?
Yeah. I saw him pick up that log and put it over his head.
The final
event was really impressive. Awesome. They were all really close going into the final event. And it's like, these are, you know, it's not like he went out there and these were, you know, not games level athletes. They were, you know, pretty much all the top 10 in the world were there. And man, to come away on the podium there in second, that's huge for him.
So he got clipped by like 15 points by the last year's games champion, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's right there to beat last year's games champion. And and he's not even at his best form. So we're pumped for him, man. But tell us more about your CrossFit, Brian. That's
Honestly, right now, I'm slacking
the
around.
garage
I'm in
invitation.
Kansas visiting JP and my sister right now. So the CrossFit has been on hold, partially because of that. The Phillies have put a damper in my workout routine. Thought I'd get through the whole episode without talking about the Phillies, but
most people have already turned it off by now. So,
but we're gonna get back at it. You know, we're gonna come back strong. Yeah, maybe by next episode, I'll have some better CrossFit updates, but nothing personally for me. Shout out to Dylan Sheehy. I'm coaching youth wrestling at his high school. We start practice here in about 2 weeks, so I'm gonna try to get. For the UPenn duel, I'm going to try to get everybody out there. The other coaches at the club I'm at, they're very University of Penn heavy.
Okay.
Two of the other coaches wrestled there in the 90s.
Cool.
So I'm trying to turn them all to Army fans. So I'm trying to get a lot of.
Well, listen, you know, I said we were done talking, but I'll plug this too. If you're interested in going to that dual meet at the University of Pennsylvania the night before the Army Navy football game, if you use the ticket code Sit with Army, their website, that will put you in our section there. So it's going to be a strong crowd. I mean, there's what, 40, 50,000 people that come to the city for the game. And what, about 1,000 of them go to the gala the night before. So, I mean, there's 49,000 people looking for something to do. There's going to be a good crowd at that dual meet.
Yeah.
We just need to make sure that, you know, Army's well represented there. And if you want to sit with each other, use the code Sit with Army and we'll see you there.
That's a good thing to point out, because I think some people are already looking into tickets and I wasn't even aware of that. And I thought I was an insider.
You should read your emails that Scott Green sends, because it's on there. Like, read the entire email next time.
Just scroll headline.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell Scott to put that at the top. That'll be like the B-roll clause. we'll have to move things from the bottom to the top the next time.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think that wrap things up for tonight. Appreciate you coming on. We'll do this here again in a few weeks. Probably after the weekend at home. I think that'll be a good way to wrap up those events. Logan, thanks for saving the day and coming on here.
Yeah,
look like an idiot as much. Appreciate that.
No, you're good.
Thanks, Kevin, coming on as well.
All right, guys, we appreciate you, all the fans. We appreciate you, and look forward to talking again next time. Go Army.
Be Navy.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Thanks for tuning in to the Beehaw Radio Show. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcast platform. If there's something you'd like to hear on a future show, reach out to us on any of our social media, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Or you can reach us at email, beehaw.radio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and as always, go Army, be Navy.